Well, till now you have seen that globalization is giving you all plus, 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 plus points and scope to expand your business to a very large extent. Yes, you may start thinking, yes, it's all plus, plus, plus. But no, there is an anti-globalization movement. Certain countries do not agree with the globalization method as existing today. But within certain countries, there is a movement, group of people who also feel that globalization is affecting them negatively. And therefore, they have created an anti-globalization movement. It consists of a number of criticisms of globalizations. It is critical of the globalization of corporate capitalism. They are anti-capitalists. They say that there is unequal power and respect in terms of international trade. And they feel that those who are in the top 20% of in terms of income through globalization, which allows total mobility of capital, no longer live in the same world as their fellow citizens. They live in their world of their own. And that is why the anti-globalization movement is taking place at many places. One of the main grounds going around is capital markets. They have got to do with raising and investing money in various human enterprises. Those opposed to capital market integration on the basis of human rights issues are disturbed by various abuses with regard to ethical standards. Their contention is that the capitalists are not following ethical standards. And they have target World Bank, International Monetary Fund, Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, and the World Trade Organizations. The target also includes all free trade treaties like the North American Free Trade Agreement and Free Trade Areas of Americas and multilateral agreements on investments. They do not believe in free trade agreements. Global justice. This is the main platform, and it's a movement within the movements who advocate fair trade rules. This movement is often labeled as an anti-globalization movement. But it is not as such. It just says that we should have fair trade rules in business. It is based in the idea of social justice, desiring the creation of a society or institution based on principles of equality and solidarity, value of human rights, and the dignity of every human being. NGOs like War Child, Red Cross, Free the Children, and Care International have now arisen to fight these inequalities. The biggest grouse is gender equality. Globalization has been a gendered process where giant multinational corporations have outsourced their jobs to low wage, low skilled, quota free countries. And classic example being given is women workers in Bangladesh. Here they say that women workers did not show significant autonomy over their personal lives in the ready-made garment industry in Bangladesh, where poor women make up the majority of labor force. This did not translate into workers being able to collectively organize themselves in order to negotiate and bargain a better deal for themselves at work. Why? Because generally, women are seen as being untrainable, placed in unskilled, low-wage jobs, while men are seen as more trainable, with less turnover rates and placed in more highly skilled technical jobs. This is what they are looking at. That is where gender equality comes into the picture. But today, let us understand, do we see this picture today? No, there is more gender equality today. Men and women are together working on highly technology and technological based jobs. Critics of globalization argue that this type of globalization results in weak labor unions. Yes, labor unions have been hurt. Environmentalism is another factor, which includes global warming, climate change, global water supply, and water crisis. Inequity in energy consumption and energy conservation, transnational air pollution. Therefore, it is said by these anti-globalizing movement that globalization is leading to a type of environmental apartheid. Another critique of globalization is that natural resources of the poor have been systematically taken over by the rich, and the pollution promulgated by the rich is systematically being dumped on the poor. Companies that choose to physically invest in foreign countries tend to relocate to the countries with the lowest environmental standards or weakest enforcement. Yes, this argument of anti-globalization movement is really correct because companies are doing it. We find so many accidents taking place. So many places where the emissions of the industry is hurting the local population. And anti-globalized movement says there is an environmental apartheid. Food sovereignty is another factor where the poor are really up against these MNCs. Why? They say MNCs have the financial resources available to buy up the agricultural resources of impoverished nations. And when they buy it up, they store it and increase the price. So the poor of that country are not able to purchase it at a lower rate. The anti-global people feel that they also have, globalization has also given multinational corporations political clout to convert these resources to the exclusive production of cash crops for sale to industrialized nations. Food crops to cash crops. Poor countries, poor people, they say, we need food crops first. Instead of that, MNC says, no, convert the farming into cash crops. And ultimately, farmers are left to cultivate only lands that are so marginally small in terms of productivity that they are of no interest to the international corporations. The World Summit on Food Security was called in response to widespread undernutrition and growing concern about the capacity of present agriculture to meet future food needs of the normal citizens. Most important is that anti-globalization movement says that globalization has turned elites into tourists in their own countries. Why? Because business enterprise tends to produce a class of people who see themselves as world citizens, but without accepting any obligations of citizenship. You see a big businessman playing fraud in a particular country, running away to another country and getting full protection. That is where the anti-globalization movement is crying hoarse. The dominant classes and political ideologies lose all contact with the concerns of the ordinary citizen. Most important is anti-global governance. Economies of the world have developed unevenly, such that certain geographical regions were left mired in poverty and disease. Look at Africa. Public over there is left in poverty and disease. Pitiable condition. Whereas MNCs are minting money because South Africa is producing the maximum gold. GDP gap, while still very wide, of course, is appearing to be closing in, and some more rapidly developing countries, life expectancies begin to rise. The anti-globalization movement has to be seen as an example of a new social movement leading to a world government. Opposition arose to this idea of world government as advocated by organizations such as World Federalist Movement. And objections are that the idea is unfeasible, inevitably oppressive, or simply unnecessary. Opponents are wary of concentration of power or wealth that such governance might represent. If we want to look at the recent events impacting globalization, the first thing that comes to our mind is the Brexit. In Europe, economies were hampered due to uncertainties surrounding the United Kingdom's withdrawal from the European Union. You know, European Union was a combination, a group of the Europe countries. They combined themselves into a European Union. And suddenly, the UK or Britain
they decided to go out of this European Union. That was the Brexit. And that created a lot of uncertainties in all the surrounding markets, one within the EU and even outside. Next was the COVID-19 pandemic. This was the most disruptive pandemic, with more than 180 countries reporting cases and having lockdowns. Major vaccination was undertaken in all these countries to prevent escalation. In spite of that, there was a huge escalation. There were a lot of deaths involved. Next, we have the China and United States trade war. United States began setting tariffs and other trade barriers on China. Why? The goal was of enforcing China to make changes to what the US has described as unfair trade practices by China. This is the reason why US placed trade barriers, and that led to a trade war between US and China. Next, you saw the Russia-Saudi Arabia oil price war. You know, the lockdown which was created to the COVID-19 pandemic created shortfall in people moving from country to country and also moving from out of their house. This created a reduced consumption of energy, and therefore crude oil was impacted to a very great extent. Why? Because usage reduced. And because of reduced usage, the price started dropping. Here, the Russia told OPEC that let us reduce the oil being taken out and sold. But OPEC did not agree. The Arabian countries did not agree on cutting the oil production. And this led to the price war, which has affected them and also other countries to a great extent. And then subsequently, we also saw the Russia-Ukraine war, where Russia launched a full-scale invasion of Ukraine. On this account, trade was impacted, since commodities from both countries are no longer finding their way onto the world market, thus creating shortages in the world market. We also saw the Afghan crisis. Since the Taliban taking over of the Afghanistan in August 2021, the United States froze all the accounts of the Afghan government, close to $9 billion in assets belonging to the Afghan Central Bank. That means the bank, though it is the Afghan fund, the bank could not lay their hands. They could not operate, they could not use, they could not take the fund because it was frozen. The country is now facing one of the world's worst humanitarian crisis. And yes, we in India have helped them in this crisis.
Thank you.